Hello, family. I'm a grateful recovered addict. My name is Walt. And I'd like to thank Mike, first of all, for inviting me, because it's always an honor and a privilege to speak at a Narcotics Anonymous function. Narcotics Anonymous is a program given by my God, our God, to get us people like us a way to stay clean one day at a time. And I have to thank you for that. This is a Unity Day function. That's the first tradition. That's what the first tradition is all about, unity. It's about what we can do together that we can't do by ourselves. I was talking to Leonard, L.A., because, like, we come from the same area. We come from Homewood. And we were just talking about some of the things that had taken place in our neighborhood. And even in our addiction, there was some sense of camaraderie and some sense of unity. Because going to different, I'll say, drug facilities, we've gotten close to certain people, and certain people, we looked out for each other, you know? Because we were talking about the most notorious crack house in the Homewood area, and the person who ran it, who's in recovery today, and she is actually running a program. But this place right here, you could go in there, and like, if you were tired, here, come on, go lay down, and I ain't gonna let nobody bother you, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, even then, there was some sense of it. But after a while, that unity breaks down. Because when it comes down to getting what I need to get to make me feel better and you're in my way, or I have this much and you're a good friend of mine, I'm really not trying to share it with you. You know what I mean? Because as we go down the road, it talks about in Am I Addict, do you ever use alone? Yeah. So a lot of times I would get some stuff and try to hide. Because it wasn't enough. One was too many. 1,000 was never enough. I needed more. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a product to keep coming back. And I had the opportunity of learning some things during the court, in the rooms and outside of the rooms, because I found out what unity really is. Because there was one time, he was a good friend of mine, another recovering addict. He lived in Homewood also. And he had some time clean, and I know I was feeling like I wanted to stop. And I went to his house and left a note on his car to come and get me from the crack house I was in. That next morning, there was a knock at the door, and I opened the door, and it was him. You know, it was him. He came to a crack house because I stretched out my hand because I needed some help. That's unity. That's unity. You know, he prayed up, he came, he got me, and I went to one of a treatment facility. Okay? I find out that this thing is the sole survival of Narcotics Anonymous. If you read the first tradition, it tells us that the group is the strongest vehicle. But the group has individual people in it. Okay? In order for the group to survive, the people have to pull themselves together to make the group live. If we fall off, the group starts to fall off. When the group falls off, the individuals die. Once the individual is dead, there ain't no coming back. One of my biggest things to show my unity and to show my appreciation to Narcotics Anonymous is that I'm currently the vice chair of the PASNA area of Narcotics Anonymous. I've been heavily involved in H&I since 96 when I first came in. This thing gives me the opportunity to try to reach out and show some people coming off the streets. We all remember how it was. We've gone to rehabs not knowing what the heck to expect. Go there and reach out and let somebody know. Guess what? There's something after treatment. Because how many people know come out, or how many people do you know come out of treatment and went right back to where they used to be and started the vicious cycle all over again? You know? I've had friends go out like that and not come back. My job is to go, is to make sure there are meetings going to as many facilities as I can get them to let people know that we are here to help you learn how to live a new way of life. Because that's what this is all about. This is all about learning how to become a new person and live a new life without the uses of drugs. And it's not an easy road. The thing is, when you first come off the streets, we don't know how to stop using. That's why it's so important that we stay together as a cohesive group. So when somebody else has that desire to stop using, we can be there and show them how it's done and pull them into the middle of the group. When we told, in order to stay here, we got to stay in the middle of the group, because you hang on the outside, you can fall off. And this, God has helped us so much through this program, Narcotics Anonymous, because what he's done for me is given me a new outlook. My thinking has been my worst enemy. My thinking was total self-centeredness, because I remember situations where I would crawl on my belly like the snake I was and go into my mother's purse to get different things, money, of course, her checkbook. I learned how to forge her checks as well as she did. I learned how to manipulate my mother. My mother's my biggest enabler. And it's not like she didn't know what I was doing. The thing is, she couldn't bring herself to really cut me off. Because I'm her only child. I'm her only son. I'm her only child, period. And my father passed away when I was 19. During the course of, I'll say, from like 1921, somewhere out in there, the addiction took off. I destroyed a promising football career. Went to the military, got myself in trouble in the military, discharged. Came back home and got hooked in the crack. See, back when I was 19, I had freebase. Okay? Came back like 10 years later, like in 1990, and smoked that Ready Rock, and next thing you know, I was off to the races. I couldn't stop. We're a big family here. My mother, her unity to me was so strong that she went through a lot. She allowed me to put her through a lot, and she still stuck by me. I hurt her. I pissed her off. But today she has the opportunity to see me clean. I remember my mother used to sleep with her purse. Now I take care of her bills for her. I'm a power of attorney. My mother's 86 years old. She has heart disease from diabetes. She's had two knee replacements. She's just had a hip replacement. She's had three back surgeries. She can't do much of anything. And it's only God that this low-life crack fiend is taking care of her. God also has a real great sense of humor, because I said if I ever had kids, I wanted boys. Easy, real easy. I'm a guy, I'm a boy. God laughed. He chuckled, sent me a little girl, and made me a single father. You know? I've had her all my life, or all her life, rather. And right now she's 13. And yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because right now she's starting to change. She's starting to change. And I look at her and I scratch my head, and I'm like, wonder what's going on in her head, because some of the things that she does, and she doesn't like letting me in, because me trying to be the parent, sometimes we consider them the enemy. You know what I mean? Because we all know about growing up where we weren't trying to tell our parents certain things because they're going to say no and I'm trying to do this. The wild part is she's trying to learn how to become a woman, and that's something that I can't teach her because I've never been one. Here's where the unity of those rooms come in again. Because I learned a long time ago, closed mouth doesn't get fed. I have a lot of women that are in my support group. I have a lot of women that I know throughout Narcotics Anonymous that are close to me. And when there's a problem, something like with my daughter, I go to these women. I open my mouth and say, this is what's happening, because I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to learn. Because I don't know nothing about it. I'm still upset that God didn't send an owner's manual with her. To be totally honest with you. Because this is an adventure for me as well as her. Because I don't know what I'm doing. Not for real. But I have to ask some people, some experience. That's that unity again. Because with that unity, I can go to this lady and say, this is what's happening. This is what she's doing. I don't understand. Can you give me some insight? Can you help me? And somebody gives me some of their experience, strength, and hope about either how they raised their daughter or what they went through as a young lady that age. Because my daughter, she's the product of two addicts. So, I mean, like, it's in there. It's in there. I see it because, like, I laugh because she tries to manipulate me. I'm like, come on now, you're not reading the book right. I wrote that book. You're on the wrong page. Don't try that. And then she'll look at me, and then she'll shut up, and then she'll go in her room or whatever the case may be, trying to maybe think of something else. But she swears she is so slick, and she pulls her little girlfriend involved in it, and they try to double up on me. And the wild part is, I'm so soft, I fall for it, even though I know what's happening. That's the bad part. I'm trying to get off that little finger. Because she's had me wrapped on it for a long time, but as old as she gets, I'm trying to get loose, because I'm saying, like, she's getting dangerous now. But this just explains some of the unity. Because anything that I'm going through that I've never had any kind of experience in, I can always come talk to somebody. You know, I can always go to somebody because that person can save my life. Because there's some things that sometimes go through my mind that I need to throw off somebody before I act out on inside myself. That, what is it, the ACJ? I call it the Riverside High Rise because it's right on the Monongahela River there. But I had no desire to be there. I realize today that every time I acted impulsively and decided to do this because it sounded like such a great idea, I always found myself in a position I hated to be in. Thank God for the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Because, like, I have, on my cell phone, I have, like, maybe 800 numbers that are, like, recovering addicts. You know? Where I can call somebody or somebody calls me. Man, it's something that I have to thank my God for because he knew exactly what to do with me. The key thing for me was allowing myself to do it. After working some steps and learning some humility, because I had a high ego, I was a star. I was all this. And God saved my life for that, because I swear to God, if I'd have gotten a major football contract coming up, they probably would have found me in somebody's hotel room dead from a, you know, where I'd have smoked myself into oblivion. So God actually saved me. But he put me where I needed to be. He put me around a bunch of people that we didn't know how to live, but were willing to try to help each other learn. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. There are situations that have taken place in my life where God, he shows himself. He shows himself. This last time around, when I was in my active addiction, they always, well, first of all, they always tell you that each relapse gets worse. I had three relapses. Two of them I was trying to save my baby's mama, okay, because of my fantasy that I didn't want to be those all-American daddy, have a baby mama here, baby mama there, baby mama there. I had one and just make it work, but it wasn't part of her fantasy. People tried to tell me then, but because I wasn't really open at that time, I didn't really like sharing it. I just wanted to, like, this is going to work because this is what I wanted to do. And next thing you know, I ended up using with her on two times. Relapsed with her two times. The last time, it talks about don't let money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And I'm going to just be blunt. There's a lot of people that do sell drugs in Narcotics Anonymous. I thought I could be one of them. I thought I could do that. They told me a long time ago that a monkey can't sell bananas. I found that out firsthand. Because to be honest with you, it destroyed my spirit. I was working for a mortgage company. I was doing mortgage loans. Yeah, I was one of them intelligent people. I can manipulate numbers and all that. But the person who was the loan officer who asked me and a couple other people from PNC Bank, we all worked at PNC Bank together, to come to this company, and he's going to be the loan officer and blah, da, 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 and blah, da, da, da. He bullcrapped the owner of the company and put him in that position, and he really didn't know what he was doing. And a lot of the loans went through the cracks. And I was working on straight commission, so I wasn't getting paid unless the loan book. So for at least two, maybe 3 months, I didn't get any money. Then they started booking. Okay, the loan started booking. I got this great idea. This is not going to happen to me again. I'm going to grab this right here. I'm going to go get a package. I'm going to go have this extra money. Started doing that. Next thing you know, the company's starting to go downhill, so I'm slinging more and more. Then my spirit started to die because it started hurting me to the point where, how can I sell somebody some poison that I'm not using? Then, I'm going to be honest with you, when the women came, the chicks came, one of my addictions, you know, because it goes hand in hand with the drugs. I didn't want to, but I found myself in that position again. And once that happened, I started smoking like 40 going north. You know, once my spirit was down, especially when I'm doing something that's like so low, it has to reach up to touch bottom. And I feel that. My spirit's like done. And I just didn't see anything else to do but to get high. I tried to hide it. Different people would see me, and I'm like, I'm not doing this, that, or the other. Lying through my teeth, knowing doggone well, I know when somebody's using, so why can't they tell when I'm using? God started showing me some things again. At this third relapse, I found out what homelessness was like, because I was never homeless. Every time I went into treatment the first two times, I had my homes. I had a couple houses at that time. I had a couple vehicles. I just started stripping stuff away. I started feeling that uncomfortableness. Then, one of the things I was told was this. If the drug doesn't kill you, the lifestyle will. And in order for me to get high, I was slinging. I would actually go to other drug dealers and get packages from them, give them their cut, and I was doing this, that, and the other, making sure that I had enough to smoke, and they got their money. There was a situation that took place. There was a gang called the Law Gang, Larmer Avenue, Wilkinsburg Gang. And they had gotten busted some years ago, and two of them came out of prison, and they came up to where I was. Because I was like right in East Liberty, on East Liberty Boulevard, Euclid. And they had took over a third floor abandoned apartment in an apartment building. And I remember they told me that I'm in their way. I'm stealing their sales. Me being the arrogant person, I'm like, yeah, and I don't care. I was here first. This is what we do. What? Now, they carried guns. I had throwaways. I didn't try to carry nothing on me too much because one of my biggest fears is going to the penitentiary. I know if I had a gun on me, I get caught. I'm a done deal. Well, I was outside. It was almost totally dark. And I was talking to this young lady, and I felt something hard hit me in the back of the head, man. I got a scar right here now. He hit me with a .357, and the street itself was a little narrow street. I went to the ground. He kicked me a couple times, and I rolled across the street. And when I looked up, he had a silver .357 in my face, and he pulled the hammer back. And he said, I told you to stay out of here. Now, first thing I wanted to do was get him. I thought about shooting him. But after the trigger, he didn't pull the trigger, and I got up. I was mad, but then God kicked in and said, the next time, the hammer can fall. I went back to Homewood for a little bit. Got into a fight there with somebody. Ended up with a neck injury. Okay? God was showing me something there. I remember it was the 22nd of July, 2006. And we were walking the cop in East Liberty, and some guy hit me in the back of the leg, and I buckled. He said, you're getting light. And that, you ever hear have those spiritual awakenings? You can have spiritual awakenings in different parts of your life, even in an act of addiction, that moment of clarity. And I said, you know what? I got to stop this. I got to stop this. I made a phone call. Here's how God works. I made a phone call to a facility, and they said, we have to do an assessment first. I said, okay. They said, they'll call me back. They called me back. They told me to meet the lady at Whole Foods down in East Liberty to go do an assessment. I went down there. I did an assessment with her. She said, they'll be calling. Now, you know how you try to get into a facility and they tell you, well, we don't have any beds available now. Can you wait a week or two or this, that, and the other? When they called me back, they asked me, can you leave tomorrow? And that's only God. That's only God. Because he knew what I was going through, and he knew what I needed, and he knew where he needed me to be. And he had a place right there for me. So I went that next day. But before that next day, you know, I had to get a couple things in. You know how we do it. Got to have a good buy hit and all that stuff. At that time, that night before, I go to treatment. A guy that I was getting high with, and he was in the fellowship, and one of my better friends today. Me and him were in that back street on Borland, face to face with butcher knives. We were coming at each other with butcher knives like this. I don't even know how we stopped. I just know it happened. And that's God's intervention. But God likes to show me stuff. He likes to show me stuff. Because sometimes I don't see it myself, so he has to make it blatant for me. That next day I went to rehab, and I knew, because I've been here before, that I had to get my spirituality back, because he tells me in the basic text that I'm granted a daily reprieve from my act of addiction based on my spiritual conditioning for that particular day. So consequently, I had to come someplace like this. Because it's peaceful here, where I can talk to God. And God gave me what I needed. Because I couldn't go to a halfway or whatever. I told you before, I was a single father. At that time, she was only 6 years old. My mother was 79. What's that look like? My mother was holding on to my daughter, because that's her flesh and blood, but it's my daughter. She actually got her, she got kicked out of the senior citizen facility she was in because she had my daughter. That was my responsibility, not hers. She ended up having to go to this apartment where we live today, but at the time it was crack central. There was 3 drug dealers living there, several active addicts. It's where I used. I had to come back here. I couldn't go to after treatment or whatever. I went to outpatient, but I lived there. I remember I was sitting outside reading my basic text one afternoon, and a girl I used to get high with ran in. She didn't see me at first, ran in. Then she came back out because she had cops. And she said, saw me, said, "Ooh, come on, let's go, look what I got." And she opened her hand. She had like a quarter ounce in her hand. At that point in time, God kicked in, and I said, "No, I can't." Because I had made a decision to make a commitment to myself and my recovery. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, don't pick up the first one. As much as I may have wanted to, God was giving me the opportunity to not be impulsive, to think, what can happen if I do this? What I give up? I was only 28 days out of rehab, but guess what? It's a one-day-at-a-time program. It's a one-day-at-a-time program. I needed to keep going one day at a time because I have other people depending upon me. That's the unity, again, because that was unity of family. My mother, who took care of me all of my life through my addiction, she needed me to be there for her because of her health and age. Six-year-old daughter. She did not ask to come here. She was given to me as a gift. Who am I to destroy the gift that was given? I threw the gift of recovery back in God's face 2-3 times before. Okay? One day he may not give it back, so I better hold on to it this time. This gift right here was given to me. That's God's child, but he gave her to me to take care of. So I have to step up and be the man that God intends me to be and take care of the responsibility. That's the family unity. I have to be there. I have to be there for them. I can't be there when I'm running around the street trying to get the next one. I can't be there when I'm trying to scheme or I'm trying to steal something so I can get more. My Narcotics Anonymous is teaching me how to be a man, be responsible. Narcotics Anonymous is a group of people who are trying to stay clean one day at a time. This group is a major vehicle that goes all around the world. The groups break down into smaller groups and smaller groups and smaller groups until you get down to the home group. But when I'm in my home group cradles me, okay? I do work in my home group, but that's the main vehicle. If we start dropping off, groups die. If we don't have the sense of unity to stick together, groups die. Once the groups start dying, then the fellowship dies. Then people die. Just for the day, I made a decision to be responsible as a man, to be responsible as a recovering addict, to give back what's so freely given to me. Just for the day. Just for the day. Thanks for letting me share.